Now, furious at what the 400 were doing in Athens, the Athenians at Samos decided to elect their own strategoi, and so they flew in the face of the 400. Now, what the Athenians at Samos had done, of course, was essentially reconstitute the assembly. And it's as if there were now two political bodies, the oligarchic 400 at Athens and the unofficial popular assembly at Samos. These men, at Samos that is, were also intent on sailing to Athens to oppose the 400. However, they didn't do this. They were persuaded not to sail to Athens. And guess who persuaded them not to go there? Alcibiades. He's back. Alcibiades had joined the men at Samos some time previously. He'd left Sardis to rendezvous with the fleet at Samos, and in fact, he'd been elected one of its strategoi. Does he ever have an interesting life? But the era of the 400 was fast drawing to an end anyway. When the oligarchs proved to be no different from the democracy in running the war, or rather not running it better, the people in Athens had had enough. The attempt to make peace with Sparta never eventuated, so the 400 had failed there. And to make matters worse, Euboea, that island to the east of Attica, Euboea revolted from the Athenian League. Now, this island was strategically vital to the Athenians. It was vital because of its close proximity to the eastern Attic coastline and the supply route. So the loss of Euboea was something like the final nail in the coffin for the 400. In September of 411, the well-being of Athens, to call it that, passed into the hands of the 5,000. That's those who remained citizens after the 400 had imposed a property qualification. And these 5,000 men would rule Athens until June of 410. So the 400 were in power only a few months. Now the new regime, the 5,000, issued a recall of all exiles. And guess who this included? Alcibiades. Although he didn't actually return to Athens yet. It's this government, it's this rule of 5,000 that Thucydides describes as the best in his opinion. Because as he says, it was a moderate blending of the few and the many. In other words, not direct democracy. But in June of 410, the constitution of the 5,000 came to an end and direct democracy was restored. So by the end of 410, we've got the assembly and the boule up and running again. Pay for political office was reintroduced. The hostile contingent of Athenians that manned the fleet at Samos was appeased. They were happy again. So it looked as if life was returning to normal, whatever that was. But to safeguard democracy in the future, each citizen now swore an oath of loyalty to kill anyone who tried to subvert the constitution. And they were allowed to kill anyone with impunity. The historical reality was very different from the appearance that nothing had happened to the constitution. The situation facing the Athenians was now desperate. They had nothing like the numbers of ships they used to have. Euboea had revolted, and in Athens itself, there was still a feud going on between the remnants of the 400 oligarchs. Again, if Sparta had pressed home its advantage now, the war would have been over for Athens. But again, though, Sparta let another opportunity slip by. And so the Athenians escaped disaster by the skin of their teeth. The Spartan reluctance to move in for the kill is surprising. And again, as in 412, it cannot be properly explained. But it was going to be a costly reluctance for them because this war is going to continue for another half a dozen years. And during this time, Athens recovered a lot of ground thanks to Alcibiades, who was operating off Asia Minor. For example, in 410, he virtually annihilated the Peloponnesian fleet at the Battle of Cyzicus, killing the Spartan admiral Mindarus and sinking 60 triremes. This victory gave Athens ascendancy in the Aegean again, and Sparta sued for peace. The Athenians were now led by the demagogue Cleophon, a lyre maker, lyre as a musical instrument. And Cleophon refused the Spartan request for peace. And I think he was right to do so. You see, as in 425, the Spartans wanted peace but without terms. That meant that Athens and Sparta would simply revert to a sort of status quo position. And their animosities, as Cleon had seen in 425 when he blocked Spartan overtures for peace then, their animosities would mean that it's only a matter of time before hostilities broke out again. Moreover, the Athenians were intent on recouping their losses in the Aegean and off Asia Minor. And so any peace now would inhibit their chances in those regions. And in fact, over the next couple of years or so, Alcibiades recovers a lot of ground for the Athenians in the Bosporus area, including Chalcedon. So I think Cleophon was right to persuade the Athenians to say no. And here's another example, I think, of a demagogue who was working for Athens' best interests, even if that meant continuing the war now. Also in 410, we see signs of prosperity returning to Athens. The tribute was reintroduced. A building program was begun. This included a new temple to Athena and Erechtheus that stood next to the Parthenon on the Acropolis. This is what becomes known as the Erechtheum. Unfortunately, any victories that the Athenians were enjoying would be short-lived, because the end of the war is starting to loom on the horizon. And we're going to sail towards that horizon and examine the final years of the war and Athens's last defeat in our next lecture. Thank you very much.